Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to a World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tapman, and I am currently in Dorfweil, Germany, about an hour to an hour and a half north of Frankfurt, if I'm not mistaken. And I am here at a retreat for German pastors. They graciously invited me to come along and attend and to be a part of their retreat for a few days. And I took this opportunity to grab a couple of the pastors and invited them along to have a conversation. And so I am here with Tilman Frey. Tilman is a pastor here in Germany. How long have you been in pastor position?
It's now like from 2003, I've been in as a pastor.
Okay.
But in there was a pause of 5 years.
Okay. Okay. So 2003, so about 18 years or so, minus the 5 years that you weren't in ministry. And so have you always been in a lead pastor position, a senior pastor position, or have you held different ministry positions?
Yeah, my first position was a youth pastor.
Okay.
From a church in Hanover with Siegfried Fröse.
Okay.
And parallel to this, I have been a youth pastor for the German youth and try to build a network for them. And then after that, I have the pause of 5 years. And then I went to Braunschweig as a part of the pastor's team, like a senior pastor.
Okay. All right. And you've been there for how long?
In Braunschweig, I started in 2030.
2013. So about 8 years or so
that
you've been there. Okay. Yeah. Very good. And you're married?
Yes.
And you have children?
Yes, I have two kids. I'm married 25 years this year.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
What month did you celebrate your 25th?
In August.
In August?
Yes.
Wow, congratulations. We will be married for 26 years in January.
Oh, okay.
So. Right there. Yeah, so for our listeners, we're kind of counting down the 2021 at this point. It's kind of towards the end of the year. I'm not sure when this episode is going to air. You know, it was strange because I told Tilman before I hit the record button, you know, we're in Madrid and a little bit further east than Germany. And so it gets dark much later in Spain than it does here. So it was rolling around 5:30 and started getting dark outside. And I'm like, man, it's dark. What do people do for 4 or 5 hours in the dark every night? And so in Spain, they're still out and about and not going to eat dinner for another couple hours yet. So, yeah.
And there's warmer than here.
And it's a lot warmer. Yeah. The climate is very nice. Have you been to Spain before?
One time. Uh-huh. I've been at Barcelona.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a very amazing city.
Yeah.
And then at Mallorca.
Mallorca. Yeah.
Mallorca. And one time at Tenerife. It's
okay.
It's to Spain. It's an island of Spain, but it's at the side of Africa.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I need to visit that sometime.
Yeah.
You recommend it?
Yes.
Very good. So you've been married for 25 years and your children, you have two boys?
No, one boy, he's 10 years old.
Okay.
And a daughter, she's 7 years old.
10 and 7. Wow. Mm-hmm. Then they keep you pretty active and busy. I can imagine. I can imagine. Good. So maybe just share a little bit about your journey into ministry and how God called you into ministry.
Oh, that's a long story.
Yeah?
I try to make it so short. Yeah, I grew up not in a church. I've been at the, my parents has been at the state church. In Germany, we have the state church, an evangelic Lutheran church.
Okay.
State church. And there you have the kind of confirmation. I don't know how you call it in English.
Yeah. At what age is confirmation
it's
in the Lutheran?
13, 14.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that.
Similar to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did that all and was interested in God, but not very near. And then I went to the military. We have to do 1 year at that time.
It's obligatory for you to do?
Yes.
Everybody has to do military. At what age?
I have been 21, but normally you do that after school.
Okay.
So 19, 20.
Okay, like that, around there.
When you have done the Abitur. Yeah, I've been there. And there I met a pastor from the Catholic Church. He's a military pastor.
Okay.
And he made a retreat with some of the soldiers that want to do that. Hmm. And I thought, well, it's kind of free time. I go there. But I've been interested in thinking about spiritual things at that time, because you're kind of separated from the rest of the world, mm-hmm. and have a very portioned day.
Yeah.
You have one time at 7 o'clock, you have to go there and like that.
Very scheduled.
Very scheduled, yeah. So you don't have to use your brain a lot.
You just do what they tell you to do,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. So you have a lot of time to think about other things. And I did that. And yeah, he evangelized me, mm-hmm. and I come to Christ there. And at that time, I thought, that's a so great message I have to talk about with other people about that. Mm. That's kind of call.
Yeah.
Right at my... What do you call it in English?
Conversion.
Conversion.
Your conversion. Yeah. And so you felt compelled to share that with others.
I wanted to be a Catholic priest because he has been a Catholic priest.
Yeah, that was what was modeled for
you.
Yeah.
Genau. And then I started to think about that kind of a year. And then I learned piano builder at a factory. That was something I wanted to learn. As a job, as a profession.
Yeah. And did you already know how to play piano? And
yes.
You have a musical background?
Yes,
and all
I have
that.
Musical background. Okay. And at that piano factory, one of the other guys who learned that with me was a Christian, and he was kind of a discipleship leader from me at that time. So I learned a lot of him.
And from was him. He Catholic as well?
No, he was a Baptist.
Baptist.
Or Mennonite, I don't know.
Okay.
Free Church.
Wow.
So I learned to be a Christian out of the church. I've not been at the Free Church because or another church to learn how to live as a Christian. So I created a picture of what is church like just in reading the Bible and talking with this guy, and kind of a dream within me. And then I started to search for that church and didn't find it in all that churches I visited in Wolfsburg at that time. And then I come to the Church of God, where Siegfried Froese was the pastor.
Wow.
And that was the first time I experienced what I had hope that is reality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, from there on, I began to learn to be a part of a church, and was a worship leader at that time. Tried to be it with what I was able to play at the guitar and that and all that. Tried to build something with all that other guys. What calls church?
Yeah.
And then there was a question: if I will work in that profession as a piano builder, and I went that on. I went to Switzerland after my Ausbildung in Germany, the time you learn the profession.
Like an apprenticeship or an internship.
Yeah. Yep. And then after that, I go to Switzerland to a music store and learned a lot to build pianos and repair them. And then we went to Mainz in Germany, and I was too at a music store as a piano builder. And there, someday I heard the call to go to the Bible school. At that time, I was married yet, and we thought about that together and decided that I will go to the Church of God, a Bible school at Fritzlar. Mm-hmm. And my wife, she was studying law at that time in Mainz, and she stayed there. And so we Every weekend I
oh wow, went
for 4 years, back and forth.
How long of a commute was that?
Not 2 hours.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was a hard time, but a good time because I was very concentrated in studying, and my wife too. Mm-hmm. To study the law, you need to be very focused.
She couldn't have you distracting her.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
I want to just kind of jump back a little bit and just clarify for our listeners when you talk about the state church and the free church. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, in Germany, you have a long tradition of churches, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, which are in the system of the taxes, mm-hmm. so from the state. So when you work as an employee or something like that in Germany, you have to automatically, if you are in the church, registered in the state church, automatically you give money to that one of the two churches, the Lutheran or the Catholic.
Interesting.
So it's calling church taxes.
Okay, a couple of follow-up questions to that. So in order, it's not a choice. Mm. You don't have a choice. In regards to if you're a member of the church or if your name is on the registry of one of those churches, then mm-hmm. your tax portion goes to either the Catholic or the Lutheran.
Yeah.
So can you take your name off of that registry then?
Yes, you can.
You have that choice. You have that freedom to be able to do that. Is that also kind of considered the tithe to that church? So those people whose taxes come out of that, do they not usually tithe to the church, or do some people give more to the church? Or
yeah, if they want to, they can do it. But most of them don't know about the tithe.
Okay. Because it's not part of there. So again, that would be something foreign to a lot of us in the States.
You know,
we're taught that you're supposed to give and to tithe, but that automatically comes out for those whose name is on the registry.
And because of that, the free church isn't part of that system mm-hmm. from Texas. And then you have to understand what meets to tithe.
Hmm.
Because it's kind of, why do they want your money?
Yeah.
And 10% of your income, what? Doesn't work. It's too much.
Yeah.
Because what you give at the for the state church with your taxes, I think it's 2-3%.
Okay. Okay.
Not that much, like the 10%.
So the tithe in Germany is really a foreign concept mm-hmm. to those who attend church, to go to church. And so to take up an offering and different things like that, I can see how that can become in some way, like you were saying, a source of tension or contention with mm-hmm. the church in terms of, you know, I show up to church and they want my money mm-hmm. now, when maybe if they went to the Catholic or Lutheran church, they never were asked to give money.
Yeah.
So interesting. So youth ministry background, and you came to the church and are leading the church. And do you work full-time in the church, or do you have a job?
Right now, I'm a half-time pastor.
You're a half-time pastor. Okay. Yeah. You served in, it sounds like, a couple of different positions, either in the local church or working with the national church here mm-hmm. in Germany and mm-hmm. networking the youth across the country. And you've been in lead pastor now for the last 8 years. And you're in a part-time, half-time role as lead pastor, correct? Yeah. And are you piano building? Is that your trade outside of?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
It's a great job to do it beneath the pastor's job.
Yeah.
Because when I become a call from someone who wants to tune the piano. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I go there and make an whenever.
So you're possible. You're the piano doctor.
Yeah.
So whenever people have a sick piano, they call you and you make your rounds and you go fix the pianos.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Very good.
It's so interesting because as a piano tuner, you meet a lot of people and you come into their living room and you can talk about their lives with them.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have a piano? What means music to you?
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to get to know very different people.
Yeah. Very interesting. And I get the sense that a lot of, and I don't know the number, but there are many pastors who work half time in the church and then have a job outside of that. Is that fairly common in Germany as well, at least for the Church of God?
Yeah, I think more and more. I think since kind of five, eight years.
Okay.
It comes more and more because at the one hand, some pastors want to have a life about outside of the church.
Yeah.
And to get to know people outside of the church and not church people.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the churches are too small to pay the whole pastor's money.
So there's some intentionality behind it. It sounds like you said, it gets the pastor outside of the church walls, connecting with people in the community. You know, such as yourself, you're able to go inside people's homes who you wouldn't have, as a pastor, you wouldn't have been able to go there and to meet those people and to have those conversations with them. So one of the conversations I wanted to have with you, again, we're at this retreat and Siegfried sent me a long document in preparation of coming to the retreat. And said that the pastors were working on this document, this working paper. Mm-hmm. And basically it's a paper on how the coronavirus has impacted the church and what are the implications of the coronavirus on different aspects of the church and what does that look like? And so maybe if you could just maybe share with us kind of that process of how did this document come into existence? What happened? Like, what conversations have you had? How did this document come into existence?
Yeah. As pastors from the Church of God in Germany, we met each other at the Corona time at Zoom, kind of every week at the start, and then later every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. And we talked a lot about how to deal with this situation. And I was very interested from beginning what this virus will make with our society and with our churches. And so I heard a lot of podcasts from
epidemiologists. Yes, that word.
That word. And yeah, I read a lot of newspaper about that and was very interested to have a clear picture of what the danger is so that I can lead at a good portion of be vorsichtig, I don't know what the word, take care and do not be anxious. Find the midst of it.
Yeah. Don't react too quickly, but also don't sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
And so trying to find the balance between those two.
Yeah.
But in some ways things were happening so fast, at least in the beginning,
yes,
that you had to sometimes make those quick decisions.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you know, some of those decisions were right. And hopefully a lot of the decisions or all the decisions weren't the wrong decisions, but we didn't know at the time, did we?
Yes, we did our best.
What was right and what was wrong?
Yeah, I'm in Braunschweig. I'm with Thomas Abel together. He's the senior pastor, and I'm the second pastor, if you want to. So because I'm just a half time pastor, and he was ill for kind of 2 3 months. And I had to do the job alone.
Wow.
To navigate through this crisis, through the beginning of this crisis, together with our family pastor. We have a guy who is 14 hours at our church to lead the families and the kids.
Okay.
And he was at my side. And we tried to find out how to do a video church service and what to do with weekly emails and how to organize a praying service for each other and all that. It was very, very interesting kind of an adventure.
It's a period of time that none of us want to go back to.
Yes, but I was very herausgefordert. I was very thrilled by that.
Really?
It's very interesting. I got in the modus of we will make that.
Wow. Yeah. We were going to climb that mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no fear to succeed, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember that the first service, it was March 15th, it was forbidden.
Yeah.
And then the next one, we tried to make our first video service. And we grow up in that week for week
mm-hmm.
and find out what's going good and what we have to do better. In that time, I thought a lot about what do the other pastors do and what do other churches do. And I looked around what solutions the other ones find. And we talked about that with the other pastors of Church of God in Germany. And then I thought it would be cool to draw all that thoughts together.
Yeah.
So that we can remember what we go through.
Yeah.
And to learn from that period where we go through. Because a lot of us thought, well, we hope that will end quickly. And there was kind of a voice in me that said, don't run away from that.
Mm.
Just wishing to come back to what has been before.
Yeah.
Try to learn from that. And that was what I said to the other pastors. And then we become a team from four pastors who meet each other at Zoom. And we talked a lot about what we experienced and what solutions we find and what problems there were and all that. And then we tried to find an order to all that thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an author and a pastor, a Baptist pastor. He's calling Heinrich Christian Rust. And he wrote a lot of books. He's pastor in a Baptist church in Braunschweig, and we know him quite good.
Okay.
And he made a seminary in that time about church and church in the Corona time and all that. And he mentioned from one of his books the seven parts that are important to do church service.
Hmm.
And we kind of took that seven parts to order our thoughts, and like small buckets, we throw our thoughts in each of that seven parts just to become an overview, to work concentrated on one topic and then on the other topic, not because otherwise we would mix up all that thoughts and become no solution.
Yeah. So, and I'll just go through them or identify them in English, but those seven kind of categories or buckets are worship, community, evangelism, diaconia,
mm-hmm.
teaching and learning, peace and justice, and then preservation of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were kind of the seven categories that you guys wrote these papers on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an eighth one that is more about leading in the time of crisis. And you took a seminar and created, from that seminar, you created notes
yeah.
and kind of went through applying the coronavirus as a crisis and how to lead your church through that.
Mm-hmm.
What was this, in creating this document, what was the experience like for you?
I learned so much in talking with the other guys, because when you think about that stuff, you're going on a road mm-hmm. with your own thoughts. And when I talked with the other guys, there were a road parallel to my road, so we can switch from one road to the other. and take the thoughts of the other one and to mine and to mm-hmm. combine them and have new thoughts and all that. Mm-hmm. It was very, it gave a great benefit for me.
Mm. One of the things that we were talking about before I hit the record button is, well, we were talking about a few different things, but and we'll get to some of those. But one of those is this idea of, it's so interesting. We live in an age now where we talk about pre-COVID mm-hmm. and what life was like before mm-hmm. March 2020, February 2020, you know, depending upon what country you live in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also talk in regards to, well, when this is over, kind of pre-COVID, once post-COVID happens, you know, will travel ever be the same again? Will schools and work and all that ever be the same again? Oh, I can't wait for church to be the same again. Mm-hmm. But we're not really sure that we're ever going to be able to have life outside of COVID, are we? Mm-hmm. At this point?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, at least again, through translation, at least that's kind of what I was picking up on this document mm-hmm. is not necessarily what's going to happen once COVID ends, but it's more about how do we continue the church and the work of the church with COVID during COVID.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Would you say?
Yes. We all don't know what will be after COVID if there will be something like after COVID. So more interesting for me is, what does COVID saying about me and my church and my church work? Mm. It's kind of a narrative, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
We react to this crisis in a special kind of way. Mm-hmm. And we try to go back to a point we have been. We try to conserve something that the virus or the situation with the virus took off away from us. Mm-hmm. So we are anxious at that point and not anxious at another point. I look to my church people and ask me, how good are they in surviving alone without the church at that time? So how good was my working as a discipleship mm-hmm. leader, disciple maker? Mm-hmm. Did we made disciples or did we just made consumers? Mm. And if we made consumers, they won't be able to live without the church services mm-hmm. weekly mm-hmm. and in a weekly kind of way and all that. What Corona made with us. We were in that situation. They had to live without the church services and they had to find out how to worship alone or mm. with their families. And so I thought it's a great chance that we have there mm. to learn a lot about how we do church work and where we were good and where we were not good, mm. and where we lost our way, we have normally have to do church work, mm. and the goals we have to go. Are they on in Blickhaben? Am I concentrated on that goal where Jesus wants to lead me that church? You know what I mean?
I've been on this personal journey of just asking these questions about, and again, it's because of COVID that mm-hmm. has brought these questions to light for me, but just asking a basic question of what is the church? Mm-hmm. You know, if we can't meet together, if mm-hmm. we're forced and to have these restrictions that we cannot gather together, so many of us have defined the church by a location, mm-hmm. by a building, mm-hmm. by a gathering. That's, you know, we've identified those things as the church,
but yes.
in reality, that's not the church. You know, that's not what, when you hold up the Bible to this question, you know, the church is the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a location. It's not a facility. It's not a certain morning of a certain day of the week. It's much more than that. And then, and then it's, you know, the other question is, well, who's in charge of the church?
Yeah.
You know, if you ask the question, what is the church? And then who's in charge of that church? You know, well, we know that Jesus is the head of the church. Well, what does that mean? And so I just started asking all these basic questions that, you know, again, we were talking about, I think all of us as pastors, pre-COVID, we would say there were a lot of things that frustrated us about the church, things that we would have to deal with that we didn't become pastors. You know, we didn't answer a call to ministry to deal with certain things of the church. These were frustrating things. These were things that, because of our culture, were created. And so now, we have this kind of window, if you will, to begin making some of those changes that probably need to be made and should be made in asking these questions. And so I understand that some people may not be wired to think about those changes. And some people don't want change. They want things to go back the way that they used to be. And part of that is because there was comfort there and, you know, they knew what to expect when they went to church or, you know, when they read their Bible or when they prayed and sang and all that kind of stuff. There was a certain routine about it and a comfort and, you know, to be known. And now we have something as small as a little virus that has upstaged and upset all of that.
Yeah.
In light of this conversation, what are you looking forward to the most? When you think about the church, when you think about this document that you've created with your peers, with your colleagues, what kind of, maybe not excites you, but what energizes you? What are you looking forward to as you consider church, ministry, corona, et cetera?
I hope that we do the steps that we just can do now. I think now we have a window of time where we can change things. And I hope we took the chance for that to think about the church in a new way, in a free way. I remember the moment when we first did our first video church service. It wasn't good at all. But it was the kind of birth moment.
Yeah.
We have to do, we had the chance to do something totally new, and we were the only ones who were in charge. We could do whatever we want. All the people were gracious about that, and they're grateful. I hope it's the right word. Sorry for my English.
No, you're doing great.
And I hope that we understand that we have a free space now to try things out, to make mistakes, to earn, to go to new lands where we never have been or too long not have been there. And I hope that we learn to make disciples as a church with human beings that are living now in a globalized and digitalized, I don't know what the word.
that's what I would use.
a culture, and not giving answers to questions they didn't ask to us, but listen very, very carefully what questions they have, and then reading our Bible and praying a lot, and just after that, giving the answers to them and finding to be a church for them and for now. And I think everything that has been good at the last 500 years from Luther on will last. But I think we now have the chance to learn a lot more new things. And I hope that there will be with Brian McLaren, A New Kind of Christian, that comes out at the end, and A New Kind of Church.
Any ideas that you have of what that could look like in terms of maybe a picture or thoughts that you've had, or is it too early to answer that question?
Sometimes the church is for me, some parts of the church and the church work is for me like a, in Germany, you call it Korsett. It's something you have around your body, and it's very
constricting
and holding you in a kind of, what do you call it, position.
Yeah.
In the middle, in the Rococo, Baroque time, the ladies have all that, and they were very at their, what you call this here?
I think it's called a corset.
Yeah. It's a corset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the church is for us like a corset. And we have to find out where, how we can get out of that to be as vital as we could be leading and be leaded from the Holy Spirit and be Jesus to the world in a way only Jesus can be to people around us because he's looking to their heart and can take us to serve them that they find Jesus. Because it's very sad when I speak with people as a piano builder, for example. Oftentimes, people where I tune the piano ask what I do with the rest of my time. And then I say I'm a pastor. And, I'm not that church, in church and all that. But often I'm hearing what they didn't say with words, where they has been injured by experience,
hurt by past experiences,
what they have with Christians, and when they heard something from them about Jesus, it was a picture that wasn't Jesus.
Oh man,
yeah, and because of that, they don't want to meet Jesus.
Yeah,
and that's not good.
Yeah.
We have to find a way to be Jesus to the world that is existing now. And we have to learn to speak their language, and we have to learn to think their thoughts and to hear their heart.
Preach it. Well, I'll end with one question we always ask everybody. The name of this podcast is A World of Good. And so just want to ask you, what good is happening in your world today? What is God doing in you, around you, in your ministry? What's one thing that God's doing?
That's a good question. One of the great things we experienced as a family at that time was to have time together. And that's where I mentioned how important it is to be a model to my children and to find out how much I can influence their thoughts and their what comes to their heart, what we call faith. And to work on that is very, for me, it's kind of honoring that God gave us the chance to press our stamps. I don't know how you call it in English.
To put our stamp on somebody's life.
Yeah. And I'm working on that, and it's not every time it's a lot of fun, but I try to do my very best, and this is something where I'm experienced God at a very intensive way, where when He pastors me in that moment to be a good father and a good husband.
That's awesome. Well, Tillman, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I know it's not easy having a conversation, doing an interview in your first language. Mm-hmm. Is English your second language?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that pretty much everybody grows up in Germany learning English in school. Is that correct? And then oftentimes there may be a third or even fourth language that they learn later on.
But, yeah.
But you're learning English throughout grade school and on up. So thank you for using your second language for this interview and for all the great work that you're doing. You know, I've read through this document, this paper, and it's I know it's a great conversation, a necessary conversation, and so I know that you and your colleagues are asking questions and seeking God for answers to those questions in a really just wrestling through and thinking this through and processing it and working together in a collaborative effort. And so I saw a little bit of that this evening, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for the church here in Germany. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.